This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, December 19th, 2024. And it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. I say it's beautiful now. It'll be a different type of beautiful later. If you're looking out the window, it'll have that beautiful snow globe look to it. If you're on the roads, it will not look so beautiful. So please, if you're on the roads now or soon, or frankly any point today with this winter storm moving into the state, please use every little bit of caution and patience. You don't have to speed to get to where you're going. The snow right now stretches. Let me use the meteorological term here, a big old blob of snow that's moving in from central, eastern, and southern Minnesota. In Wisconsin, it's gotten about as far as Hayward and Wausau, down to Baraboo, down to New Glarus. Again, that's just based on looking at a radar. Some of it might not be actually, you know, on the ground yet, but trust me, it's coming. A very wide swath of the area could be getting anywhere from 3 to 5 to 4 to 7 inches of snow in that heaviest of bands. It's going to make driving a character builder. So again, please take it easy out there as we get the thing that conceivably could give us a white Christmas. But I also recall seeing something about a temperature that's maybe pushing, let's see, for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we're looking at upper 30s, near 40s for the rest of the week next week. So we may only get this potential white Christmas weather up until Christmas Eve morning. And then after that, Santa's going to have to rely on something else as far as landing on the rooftop. But again, please be careful. Brittany Merlot will be here very soon with an update on our forecast just under an hour from now. I got a question for you as we get the show started on this Thursday morning. Have you yet heard me engage in a segment where I am potentially in full agreement with some Republican legislators and actually in disagreement with Governor Tony Evers? I mean, law of averages says it was going to happen sometime, and it's appears to be happening here. I'm still trying to learn more information about what exactly is happening with the State Building Commission, but it sure sounds like there's a project in Madison that's running over budget, a project that I and many other people support, but because it's running over budget, they're eyeing other pools of money, including one for a long overdue science building at UW Eau Claire. And to which I say, oh, no. But we'll talk more about that in the coming minutes as well. Also on the program, Joe Zepecki will be here. We'll talk about the shooting in Madison and more headlines of this week. In our second hour, we will be talking to the new leader of a group that works with potential first-time progressive candidates to offer up the resources and the training they'll need to run in 2025, 2026, and beyond. So get set for that. Would like to say it's Thursday and Luke Mathers will be here, but I believe Mr. Mathers has an appointment and said something along the lines of, I would rather put up with getting my teeth drilled than appear with Pat and Greg. I believe those were his words. I could be misconstruing them, but that is not actually Mr. Mathers. I told him he was welcome, Greg, to broadcast live from the dentist chair. We'd love to hear that drill, but he seems to think the folks at the dentist office wouldn't go along with that, so we don't get that adventure today, I'm sorry to say.
When it comes to good oral hygiene and dental health, I say, drill, baby, drill.
The handsome and capable Luke Mathers with that very pearly white gleaming grin.
Exactly.
Join us another time. Before the snow comes, temperatures look like this. It's 20 in Chippewa Falls, 13 in Hayward, 19 in Amory. Wausau's at 16, La Crosse 24, Wisconsin Rapids 19, Green Bay 20. Madison's at 22 right now. Waukesha, you're at 19 degrees, and Greg's down at Radio Park in Racine, where it is 25 degrees. And, of course, when we're looking at the comments that have come in already, thank you, Tony, for noting. He says, I'm so glad you use the technical and accurate terms like big old blob of snow. It's why I know I can trust Up North News. Alicia, on a more serious note, says, good morning from Marinette. The speed of work begins to attempt to beat the storm. So, yeah, it's just one of those days. What's this? Tony's making trouble on Facebook here. Don't quote me, but I've heard Luke has a deep aversion to flannel.
What?
Perhaps that's why he isn't here right now talking to Pat. I don't believe that.
You're not
wearing
flannel right now, though. You're just wearing a tartan patterned shirt.
A dress shirt. I actually still own some of these.
Whoa.
None in a solid color. It's not all flannel shirts. I don't own any flannel.
Oh, I do, but I don't wear it right now. So.
It's okay. Like I've said before, you know, I had to wear a suit and tie for all those years. And look, I liked them. I think I looked all right in them. But after years and years and years of just a solid color shirt and a tie and a suit, it's nice to just kind of put some other stuff on now, you know. And you have one of the finest collections of T-shirts that I should be so lucky to have.
You want some of them? I'll send them to you.
No, I don't want yours. No, I'm just saying you have a lovely variety in your work wardrobe.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's about time to move on and get a new look. I'm 40.
That's it.
I'm 47. I'm not 12.
Yeah, 2025 is going to be the year that Pat and Greg get makeovers. That'll be fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me turn to some of what's happening in the news here, because, again, it's weird for me to see this story come in late yesterday that initially said that the State Building Commission had turned down the transfer of money to help with the UW-Madison engineering building. So let me back up a minute. The State Building Commission is made up of six legislators, four Republicans, two Democrats, and then one citizen member, and the governor. And they review all of the big building projects that the state engages in to make sure, you know, that there's proper design, get the contractor, have it built right and under budget. It's a committee that I sat on for about a year during my time in the legislature. It's a group that takes its responsibilities very seriously. Well, it did back when I was there and Democrats were controlling the legislature. But by and large, it still engages in that work. And there has long been the need at the UW-Madison campus for a new engineering building, one that would attract students. It would be a true job engine for Wisconsin, as it competes with other Big Ten schools for their best and brightest engineering students. The programs are growing. They're attracting great students, or they're attracting them out of Wisconsin to go to other campuses. So this was a worthy project. The business community wants it. Many Republicans wanted it. But then Republicans decided to play games with it and delayed the state's share of funding, even though a massive amount of the building's cost has been raised through the private sector and through philanthropic giving. And then there was the state share, where Republicans sat on it for months because they wanted to blackmail the UW system into dropping anything related in the system to diversity, equity, inclusion, you know, an honest, accurate teaching of racial history in America, all of this kind of culture war, you know, BS micromanaging of the UW system, simply to play politics with it. And it worked. The UW did eventually cave and restructure its DEI offices, and the Republicans stopped blocking the money. So the engineering building is now underway. But now it's apparently running over budget, or maybe running over budget. And so on the building commission, the work had begun to, identify what to do about that. Do you curtail parts of the project? Do you limit it? Or do you see if there's money elsewhere that can go into this new engineering building in Madison? Well, now let's move up to my neck of the woods here, to UW-Eau Claire, where you had the Ellie Phillips science building that dates back to the early days of the space age. Okay. It has a very Jetsons-like look to it and a very Jetsons-like infrastructure in that it's from the 1950s or 60s, early 70s, and it was starting to fall apart. That building is decades overdue for a replacement. And for a host of reasons behind the scenes, with jockeying with other projects, the funding was finally approved to start that building. That building is also underway. I believe they've got the first two floors of it done, and it's still in the progress of it's in the process of being built, but it's forecast at the moment to come in under budget. Does UW-Eau Claire get to reap the benefits of that by coming in under budget? Could conceivably those funds be used, you know, elsewhere, either for the science building or for other worthy projects there? Or does it just get returned to the state? Does it go into general coffers? Whatever the regular process is, the building commission was asked to consider yesterday to take about $70 million, the amount that the project at Eau Claire is supposedly under budget, and, you know, skim that away and help with the engineering building in Madison that's forecast to be over budget. But let me come back to an important detail here. The building is still under construction in Eau Claire. I've been on the building commission, and I've worked for contractors before. If you're not familiar with change orders, those are the things where in the middle of a project that you think is going well, imagine any HGTV show that you watch where the contractor comes in and says, there's a little problem here with, you know, asbestos, or we found a skeleton in the dirt, or, you know, whatever. And it leads to what's called a change order. And change orders pile up real fast. So I certainly, for one, don't understand why you would take money away from a project that you're still in the middle of building. Now, if you can find a way to move some pots around to make sure that Eau Claire doesn't lose out on its funding while still helping Madison, well, then, hey, that's fine. But I know that in this particular case, when the building commission said no yesterday to this, this commission made up of majority Republicans, I was perfectly good with that. Let's cool our jets and let's look for other ways that we can make sure both projects are a success. Would have been great if Republicans didn't delay the engineering building and play politics, especially with Trump tariffs coming, but we are where we are right now, and hopefully we can resolve it so that both projects work out well. We'll have more after this on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Or it will really soon.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. Every single road.
People driving like idiots with all-wheel drive.
The thing that sticks out to me about this song is when he says, you know, take a look at the 5 and 10.
Yeah.
You know, the old 5 and dime stores. And now we have dollar stores.
Oh, yeah.
You realize it won't be that much longer until we're calling them 5 and 10 stores again. Because everything will be $5 or $10.
That's cheap, Pat. That's good price.
Right. I have some good news. I can't stop the snow here, but I can tell you that after Saturday, the days are going to start getting longer. And in fact, I can tell you that, the sunrises are already starting to get a little bit earlier. The sunsets, our earliest sunset actually happens the day before daylight savings time back in November when it was at, you know, like 424.
Yeah.
And now it's 427. But
ooh, baby.
I know. You know, sunrise will happen at 7:43 at the end of the month here, but then after January 7th, it'll start coming up later and later. Or earlier and earlier, I should say. The sunset will be later and later. This is all to say there's hope. The solstice is day after tomorrow, coming up right around the corner here. And also, hey, thanks to Phil on Facebook for saying, thank you for telling people about the common sense of construction projects. I love when a plan comes together. Everybody in construction does. It's just that you can't assume it. And yeah, that's, I mean, we've all had that. We've all been involved in a project.
If you've ever seen the movie The Money Pit, watch the Money Pit.
Yeah. A very early Tom Hanks, Shelley Long movie.
Yes.
God, we're going way back. We're doing early 80s kids, yep. I'm sure it still works.
Every contractor says the same thing. Oh, 2 weeks. Right. It'll take 2 weeks.
Yep. You can reach us here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Again, have that Civic Media app handy, not just to text or call us anytime, but to be part of the grown-up gift list text-to-win contest coming up just after 7 o'clock. In the newsletter today that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com, there's a story about beer club memberships that you could be a part of. And you mentioned that you are no stranger to beer club memberships.
No, I've been a part. I got to actually renew it. There's a place called Rustic Road in Kenosha here that has a really nice beer selection. I want to be a part of that. And it was like, I was gifted and it wasn't a beer club per se. It was just like hey, here's a gift card. You can order from all these different breweries all over the country. And I have yet to do it.
You're just full of potential there. You're exactly waiting for the right moment.
Thank you.
It doesn't come right to your door. It's not like Jelly of the Month Club, which, Clark, that's a gift that keeps giving the whole year through. So learn about the potential for beer club memberships in the newsletter. Also, 7 books by Wisconsin authors that might make good gifts for yourself or for others. Again, that's in the daily newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. One note from the Courier Newsroom family, the folks that own Up North News. We're a separate entity from Civic Media, but you can head over to couriernewsroom.com and check out all of the various state-based outlets, Up North News being the Wisconsin one, but there are all kinds of others, and a national team, and podcasts, and merchandise, and newsletters. And let me tell you about one of the newsletters. It's called Up on the Hill. You might recall Olivia Troy from the hearings of the January 6th Congressional Committee. She's a former national security official. She worked at the National Counterterrorism Center and other agencies before becoming the Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Advisor to Vice President Mike Pence. She's a bit of an expert in the field here and was very enlightening during the January 6th committee hearings. Well, now she writes a newsletter that you can find at the Courier Newsroom website. That's all about letting you know in advance what to expect from a second Trump term from a security perspective. Her latest edition talks about the insurrection coming full circle, with potential cabinet appointees wandering through the same U.S. Capitol that Trump tried to take by force 4 years ago. Up on the Hill is one of several great newsletters that you can find at couriernewsroom.com. And that takes us into the Capitol right now where, again, can't believe this is a thing, but once again, a bipartisan deal to get good things done is being sunk by Donald Trump. Now, this is a guy who everybody knows tanked a bipartisan bill for border security and immigration reform. And even though everybody knew that he tanked it so he could campaign on the issue, he campaigned on the issue and he won anyway. It's one of the great mysteries of 2024. Well, now he's going to try to work his magic again, which might mean a government shutdown as early as tomorrow night, because there was a bipartisan deal to avert a shutdown, to continue the farm bill, which would have provided aid to farmers who have been facing, you know, natural disasters in their parts of the country. But the bill is now on life support. because Trump, but more importantly, Trump's shadow, not so shadow, Vice President Elon Musk condemned it and said that they need to make some changes. Even though Republican leadership already had an agreement with Democrats. And so once again, Democrats are saying, you need votes to pass something. You need some of our votes. Speaker Mike Johnson in for the House Republicans has like two votes to spare. And there are more than two House Republicans who would rather blow up the budget and see a government shutdown than cooperate with Mike Johnson and or Democrats. So to avoid a shutdown, it's going to have to be a bipartisan matter. And yet Trump is once again saying, blow up a bipartisan deal and we'll just continue to say angry things about it until we get our way. Well, that might work in an election. You can run all kinds of scary ads about immigrants and scare enough people into voting for you, but that's different than trying to pass a bill through Congress where you can say, well, Democrats, if things go to hell, it's your fault for not knuckling under to our demands. Or we can just continue to point out the phony demands that Trump is making and how he blew up something that was actually going to solve a problem. In this case, avoid a shutdown and provide long-needed disaster relief to folks around the country. So stay tuned throughout the day today. We may be talking about a shutdown yet before the week is over, just in time for Christmas. Joe Zepecki is next. You're up north.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
We've arrived at 6:34 on this Thursday morning to the Joe Zepecki part of the week, which is where we get to talk about the things that have been making news with strategist Joe Zepecki. Oftentimes, things that happen in big, marble domes in D.C. and Madison, but certainly news happens elsewhere and happened in a big way earlier this week in Madison. Joe, nice to have you here and just to hear your own thoughts on the school shooting and what has happened in the aftermath.
Hello. Thanks for having me, as always.
I'm not a
young man anymore. And when the Columbine shooting took place in 1998, I was a high schooler. And that was really the first time that our conscience had been shocked by the notion that you could just walk into a school building and slaughter kids and teachers. And so 1998 is 26 years ago. And for 26 years, we have seen this over and over and over. And I am so sick and damn tired of it. I am outraged at how numb we appear to have become to it. And I just want to offer a few perspectives for folks. One of the problems is how these always play out, where people who don't want to do anything about the damn guns find any other thing to point at to demonize an other. And you are seeing that from some of the worst corners of the internet about the young person who made this terrible choice that has ruined the holidays for scores, tens, hundreds of families in our state. And saying vile, unspeakable things about this person when they don't know, because they have an agenda and they're trying to use our pain and our anguish to divide us. And that's the kind of crap that we need to stop. We also have, like clockwork, people come out and say, oh, it's the video games. Oh, it's these first person shooters. Oh, it's the mental health. Every country in the world has young people who play video games. We are the only nation on earth where this regularly happens, so regularly that a mere couple of two, three people dying in our state barely makes a dent, because we have seen shootings where tens of people die, where 20 some people die, where 30 people die, and still we do nothing. And I love this country so much, but there is perhaps no greater stain on this country in the last quarter century than the shameful, tragic inability to grapple with this problem and the hundreds, if not thousands, of young people who we have lost and teachers right there along with them as a result. And with that, I'll get off my high horse, but it's just shameful and tragic is the only thing that I can conjure up. And I am so sorry to the families that were failed this week. And I'm sorry to tell everybody that they won't be the last.
I hate to agree with that, but there will be more, because of where I'm going to lead with my first point from the newly elected, the new state Senate president, Mary Felskowski from up north, who was part of a legislative panel this week talking about previewing the next session. Certainly the Madison school shooting came up, and here's what we get. From the Wisconsin Examiner, Felskowski says, people need to look at what has changed in American society, adding that people took guns to school 30, 40 years ago. She says, we went hunting after school and nobody was afraid, so society has changed. We need to start looking at underlying causes. Is it social media? Is it cyberbullying? Is it too much screen time in our children? I hope we can come together and have tough conversations. But she also said increased weapons screening would be where she might go first, so that people can't walk through the door with no screening. So screening appears to be the one thing that legislative Republicans might look at. More officers, more metal detectors.
Honestly, fine. Do something. That is where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, universal background checks should have been done 25 years ago, and it's still not done. And closing the gun show loophole should have been done a quarter century ago. And maybe we're on the way there, but it's not all the way there. And red flag laws. You have to do it all. Like, we have to stop letting our kids be slaughtered in school. So if the best we can get from Mary Felskowski is lock down every damn school in the state, fine. Let's do it. That's where I'm at on this. Because, as I just said, the kids we lost, the teacher we lost this week, the families that are broken and will never be the same, they won't be the last. It's only a matter of time until the next one. So if Felskowski wants to write the check to make sure every school in the state is locked down and nobody can get in with so much as a screwdriver, I'm ready to call her bluff. Yeah, that's where I'm at, because none of this should be that damn complicated.
You should call the bluff, because it's not going to happen. There will be no such bill offered up, because, again, compromise is weakness to this crowd. And changing anything, acknowledging that anything needs to change in their mind, is this toehold for more things like background checks, red flag laws, and all that. So they have to hang tough and continue to live in denial that the problem is guns. That in a country with 400 million guns already, maybe we can solve it if we get to 500 million guns.
Yep. We have more guns than people in this country. I'm ready to call the Chris Rock play. Okay, you don't want to do gun control? Let's do bullet control. That was funny 25, 30 years ago. It's not funny anymore, because it's the bullets fired from these weapons that are killing kids, and I am done with it.
Mm-hmm. Mary Felskowski, in this forum by Wispolitics this week, did not drop a lot of surprises, even though Republicans had their majorities thinned substantially in the Senate and the Assembly. She said, we're basically not going to change the way that we do anything. Let's just start with Medicaid expansion. She used the words, it's off the table. Yeah. That doesn't need to happen. And again, we've got this excuse from her that says, well, you know, the people that need coverage are already getting coverage in Wisconsin. So, Joe, I ask you, without expanding Medicaid, whatever it was that Scott Walker did after the Affordable Care Act passed, is that good enough?
It isn't good enough. If we accepted the Medicaid expansion available under the Affordable Care Act tomorrow, about somewhere between 75,000 and 90,000 more Wisconsinites would have access to care, and the state would save hundreds of millions of dollars. We have left like over $1 billion on the table over the lifetime of this. And what I find so interesting is the degree to which Ms. Falkowski kind of gives away the game. They don't care what you think. It doesn't matter that the voters reelected a healthcare champion statewide in this state. It doesn't matter that the 15 seats net that Democrats picked up in the state Senate and the state legislature is probably, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, Pat, probably the biggest swing and change in the makeup of the legislature since 2010. That's a long time ago, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they literally don't care. That all they care about are the people's opinions who write the checks for them. And so it's real easy to say at, you know, election time, oh, we're so concerned with how much people are paying, how much Wisconsinites are paying for gas and for groceries and for healthcare. And then when they get the chance to do it and address it through public policy, they're unwilling to actually make those choices. So I'm so sorry to the people of Wisconsin who felt like maybe Wisconsin Republicans were going to take a step or two to lower their healthcare costs. Don't hold your breath, because then you'll need to go to the doctor and it's more expensive than it needs to be, because Republicans are holding back actual reform to our healthcare system in this country.
So while Mary Fazkowski is the Senate president, the actual leader, the majority leader for Senate Republicans, remains Devin Lemieux, who has said, here's the good news. He's not going to push for a flat tax in this session, that thing that was never going to pass because it's such an awful idea. But here's the bad news. He says he's again going to focus for tax cuts in the second highest tax bracket. Now, bracket to me is doing a lot of heavy lifting. The bracket they're talking about, here's the range in that bracket. $38,000 a year income. $38,000 a year income to $420,000 a year income. Yes, the highest tax bracket is for people who make more than $420,000 a year. But here's the thing. Devin Lemieux saying, why are we working on that big fat tax bracket that starts at $38,000? Because he thinks it gets everybody. He says, quote, if you're working full time, I don't know where you find a job that puts you below that second highest tax bracket, frankly. Really? Here's the question for Senator Lemieux. How many people in Wisconsin work full time and earn less than $38,000 a year? Senator, it's a lot more people than you think. And you're telling every one of those folks, you don't care. You got to take care of the people making closer to $400,000 a year.
It is beyond absurd, that bracket. I like, what does someone who makes $38,000 a year and someone who makes $420,000 a year have in common? Spoiler alert, the answer is nothing. Nothing. From an economic standpoint, that might as well be the difference between living on Earth and living on Venus. Like, that is so, that it's too big a, air quoting here, bracket. We have to go back to, it was 5 or 6, then they shaved them down and they just beat their chests as if they were the happiest boys in all the land, because they got rid of a whole tax bracket. But what they didn't tell you was they created an absurd one, just a joke of one. Because if you are paid $38,000 a year and you are paid $420,000 a year, the tax system in this state should not treat you the same, period.
Right, because one of them is more than 10 times the income of the other, but it is absolutely in keeping where Lemieux and legislative Republicans want to go. They want a flat tax. They want one bracket that's in there so that, you know, the richest person out there pays the same rate as the poorest person out there. Mm-hmm. And that's...
We'll make up the difference with, you know, sales taxes, stuff that is regressive instead of progressive. Right. They have no problem shifting the tax burden in this country further and further away from their wealthy donors and their wealthy friends, and more onto the backs of hardworking, you know, families in Wisconsin. That's where we are.
I'm going to close not with a question so much as a fun fact. Do with it what you will. No women will chair committees in the U.S. House of Representatives for the first time since 2005, 2006. It's just a whole lot of dudes representing the Republican Party. Again, it's funny. It's like they're not even trying, once the election is over, to send any kind of a message like, we actually do care about what's bothering you. Nope. Bring on the dudes.
Who determines the committee chairs there? Is that does the president get a say? Does Trump get to say? Or is that Republicans in Congress get to decide?
Republicans, of course, with Speaker Mike Johnson. Take from it what you will.
Just a fun fact about
just a case of what they said.
Differences of perspective, yeah.
And what they do. Yeah. Joe Specky, and just a few seconds here. What are you looking forward to most for the holidays? Is it doing nothing? You got a big event, big dinner?
Turn it off. We're going to do a little travel. We're going to spend time with loved ones and family and celebrate all the things that we are very fortunate for. And we are very fortunate to live in this country and to be able to share our disagreements and despairs with the state of our politics and the state of our country and our culture. And we're not going anywhere. We're just gearing up for the fight ahead. So it'll be a good opportunity to recharge. Merry, Pat.
You as well. Have a great holiday break here. And we will talk first full week of January. We will have the new Congress and the new legislature setting up behind us once we talk again. And so we will be off to the races for 2025. Talk to you later. Thank you, Joe.
See ya.
We will not be hearing Joe live next week. You won't hear me live next Thursday. We'll be on a little holiday break there on the 26th and 27th. And then the following week on the Monday, Tuesday, the 30th and 31st, I'll be having some substitute hosts, Greg Bach and Dr. Kristen Lyerly, on that 30th and 31st. You'd better tune in. I'd better tune in. Today's history lesson is up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Today, we mark the anniversary of the birth of Maurice White. That, of course, would be Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Just a great band name, too.
I know. The late singer, songwriter, producer, arranger received more than 20 Grammy nominations. Earth, Wind, and Fire was the first all-black band to sell out Madison Square Garden. Maurice White is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Passed away in 2016, but what a legacy he leaves behind for Earth, Wind, and Fire. Also in today's history lesson, it was on this day in 1957. Oh, it was a tragic day for Elvis Presley fans. He was served his draft notice and had to join the Army. He joined the 32nd Tank Battalion, 3rd Armored Corps, based in Germany. Have lots of birthdays today. Let's start with Walter Murphy, who you see him on credits all the time on TV, Family Guy most notably, but he does music for so many TV shows and movies. He's really only had one hit on the chart, and it was very early on in his career with a little bit of a take on symphonies in the disco era.
I love this song. Ooh, classical
even
music.
As a disco tune.
Ooh.
Yes. It's got legs all these years later.
Yeah. If you ever want to see something amazing, just YouTube Sean Hayes hosting SNL, and he does like a take on this song. Because he's a very accomplished piano player, and he plays this song.
That's right.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, that's funny. Walter Murphy is 72 years old today. Tim Reed, who played Venus Flytrap on WKRP in Cincinnati. I know he was on other shows too, Simon and Simon and several others, but he's still Venus. He's 80 years old today. Basketball legend Kevin McHale, the Minnesota Gopher turned Boston Celtic, is 67 today. And a melancholy one today. This would have been Reggie White's 63rd birthday, born 63 years ago today. The Packer legend passed away far too soon in 2004 at the age of 43. On this day, 60 years ago today, 1964, the Supremes scored their third number one hit of the year with this one. Got more birthdays here. Jennifer Beals, the actress, is 61, still perhaps best remembered for Flashdance. Alyssa Milano is 52 years old today. Jake Gyllenhaal is 44 today. On this day in 1970, Elton John had his first U.S. hit when his first ever single entered the Billboard Hot 100 on this day. It would eventually top out at number 8.
If I was a sculptor, but then again, no.
There, right there. That's my nominee for... Elton John's a legend, but that's the worst song lyric ever. If I was a sculptor, but then again, no.
Hey, he didn't write that.
So, I'll never understand that one. I just never will. President Bill Clinton's impeachment began this day in 1998. Anybody that watched David Letterman over the years knows that he had a Christmas tradition on his show, first on NBC, then on CBS, when Darlene Love would come in and sing her 1960s holiday classic, Baby Please Come Home for Christmas. She sang it for the last time on Letterman's CBS show on this day in 2014, but I thought I'd go way back in the archives. This was actually her first appearance on Late Night with David Letterman on NBC in 1986. And you can see where David was smitten right there and said, yeah, why don't we do this every year? And it was always a big hit. On this day in 1997, do you remember when the big blockbuster movie opened? It had been talked about for years. It was over budget. It was going to be a disaster of Titanic proportions until it wasn't. It was a box office blockbuster, including the soundtrack. And of course, Celine Dion will be remembered forever for her role in Titanic. And it's Big Finish. How many of you are throwing your arms out right now? You know, just imitate your singing just like Celine. I see you.
My mother loves Celine Dion.
You know, they talk about the celebrity lookalike contests, I guess, are really a thing right now with, Timothy Chalamet?
Chalamet.
Sorry. And some other folks. But I recall when... Titanic opened up in 97, so it was the summer of 98 that, because he mentions Lake Wasoda in the movie, that year for the Pure Water Days Festival, I think, they had a Leonardo DiCaprio lookalike contest.
Does he? And it Lake was, Wasoda?
Yeah, he mentions Lake Wasoda in the movie.
Oh, I thought it was Chippewa Falls.
No, you've never heard the anomaly about this?
Well, he mentions a lake that doesn't exist.
Yes, correct. He mentions working on the ice or the icy waters of Lake Wasoda, building the dam. But the Titanic sank in 1912, and Lake Wasoda was created in 1917. So a little 5-year thing. Nobody cares. We don't begrudge them. We get to be in a big old movie. We're happy with that. We're getting near the end of the calendar here. For the National Day Calendar. There's some days where there's so many of them lumped into one day. And then you get near the end here, close to Christmas, close to the end of the year. It's like nobody wants one of these days. Well, guess what, kids? Today is National Oatmeal Muffin Day. And today is National Hard Candy Day. So here you ask Grandma and Grandpa for a piece of hard candy, especially for this day. Coming up in our second hour of Up North News Radio, we are going to talk to the new head of a group that trains progressive candidates for the elections of the future. And Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro will talk about what could happen with health care under Trump and a Republican state legislature. This is Up North.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.